Good morning and welcome. It is good to see everybody here. As always, we encourage you to take out a Bible and follow along and make certain that what is said is in accordance to God's Word. This morning, we're going to continue the series that accidentally started a few weeks ago because I wanted to preach the sermon that's coming next week. I realized that sermon really didn't need to stand alone. It needed to be in a part of the series. And we are getting to it, and I'm looking forward to that. Next week, I intend to talk about having a love like God's. But this all comes from the book of 1 John, and it's about knowing that we're saved. Put a different way, it's about knowing that we're right. And I don't want you to get the wrong idea about that. I don't want you to get from this series that the real goal here is let's figure out everybody who's wrong and point at them about how wrong they are and boast about how right we are. That's not it. But at the same time, I do want us to have a great confidence that we're following the right path. That we're not going through our lives in fear, wondering, are we right or is it these other people? And we observed that John writes 1 John in a circumstance that is very much like ours, in which there are all these options, there is all these this confusion, all these differences, and the people weren't certain because somebody was coming to them and saying, we're the real Christians, we're the ones who are really following God, and you guys are wrong. And John needed to correct them so that they could know. And so what we have observed thus far is, first of all, the challenge that we face and the challenge that they faced. But we also observed that it can be overcome. So in the first century, there were those who said you had to be circumcised, those who said you didn't have to be circumcised. Some said the resurrection had already taken place. Some said there's no such thing as a resurrection. There were those who believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and those who believed Jesus wasn't actually the Son of God, that he didn't really come in the flesh. There were all these various different doctrines that already existed, and the people were in confusion. Which path should we follow? And in 1 John chapter 2, and verse 26, John warns, he says, these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. So on top of all the different views, there are people that are actively out there trying to deceive them. And then you decide, okay, today I'm going to become a Christian. I'm going to follow Jesus. And then you look in the yellow pages and you see church after church after church after church. And it's not just, well, this one's here and this one's strategically located here because we just want people to be able to reach a church very quickly and easily and conveniently. No, they all have these differences. And believe it or not, the differences matter. They really matter. Did you hear about the Presbyterian minister / atheist? Did you hear about him? There's a guy out there who is offended that anybody would dare not call him a Christian, even though he doesn't believe in God. He is still a Presbyterian. He is still a minister. He is still an atheist. And he believes you can do all of those things because he believes Christianity is a culture, not a belief. And then there's other people who are telling us Christianity is this. And somebody else who says Christianity is this. And you have all these different practices and patterns and beliefs. And when we look at it, we say, there's no way we could possibly know who's right. John disagrees. John is in the same circumstance where there's all these different beliefs. But John finishes in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 says, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. All those other beliefs, all those other doctrines, they are wrong. They're following Satan. There is a truth and we know we have it. John had a plan. He had a method. He had principles that were timeless, principles that these people could follow and know they were right. You want to know if you're saved? Follow the same principle. You want to know if you're on the one right path? You follow the same principles. And so last week what we looked at was you go back to the very beginning. If you want to know if you're actually following Jesus, listen to Jesus. It really is just profoundly simple, isn't it? You just look back and say, okay, there have been all these variations, all these different people who've come up with their own ideas. If we're going to figure out what was the one right path, we should go back to that first path that we know was right. And so we go back to Jesus, and we go back to those who we know were a part of Jesus, those who were his apostles, who Jesus sent out and gave his word and told them, go out and teach them all the commandments that I've given you. So we're looking for a church that emphasizes what was originally taught rather than is looking at whatever is the modern thought. That's how we know when we're on the right path. That was the first principle. And I'm embarrassed to present this lesson to you. I'm embarrassed to say, okay, I've been studying really hard and I've presented this sermon to you. This should be so obvious. It shouldn't need to be said. But you know what? John needed to say it. And for whatever reason, there's been so much confusion in the world, I need to say it today too. The second principle, and I really believe that if you want, we can break down today's lesson into two principles, the second and third principle. So the first one is go back to the known, established, beginning message. The next one is, so the first one is who listens to Jesus. The next one is who obeys him. It really is that. Who is following Jesus is, you want to know who's following Jesus? It's this simple. Who does the things that Jesus said to do? I know that's so simple, right? But look at how it is emphasized in 1 John. As he's giving us this principle that leads to us saying, we know. In the midst of all the confusion and all the options, we know we're right. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. By this we know that we have come to know him. That is, we know who God is. We have a relationship with God. Here's how we know. If we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Now that last part, by this we know that we are in him, I believe goes to the next verse, but we'll come back to that later on. But here you get it. John is getting started, and at the very beginning he says, here's how you're going to know whether somebody actually knows God or is just lying about knowing God. It's very simple. Do they obey God? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. I don't think that's the... I hate it when I get the wrong verse, but it is the right verse. I just have to remember it's the right verse. Verse 17, the world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Here it is. You want to know who's right? Who's doing God's will? In chapter 3, verses 21 and 20 through 24, he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Is that not what we're looking for? This confidence to where we can come before God and we don't have to shrink away from him. We don't have to hide. We know we're right. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive it from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him. Who has the relationship with God? It's the one who obeys him. The one who listens to the original message, the one who obeys the original message. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God. So now we're looking at who is it that loves God? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. This is not rocket science. This is not complicated. It's really simple. I want you to look at the next passage, back to what was read for us this morning, 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. I want you to pay special attention to verse 10. Already in 1 John, and we're going to see this in a little bit, he's not talking about this perfect life. He's talking about a practiced life. He's talking about the walk of life, the way that we are generally going that direction. This passage, I know it can be confusion, but you can see it even in verse 8 when it's practices sin. But oh, when we get to verse 10. Okay, so verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now get this. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. It's not supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be something where we're confused and have no hope of understanding. Well, they believe this and they believe this and they believe that. It's not supposed to be difficult like that. It's really obvious. It comes down to this. Who's doing it? Who's doing what God said to do? Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So there it is. The first principle was who listens to Jesus. The second one is who obeys Jesus. You know what the third principle is? It's very closely related to all of those, and that is who's like Jesus. Who is like God? You want to know who's following God? Look to see who looks like God. You want to know who's following Jesus? Look to see who's acting and behaving and talking like Jesus. That's the point that is being made repeatedly throughout 1 John. And so we go all the way back to the first chapter in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And he describes God as light, and there's an immediate implication to that. And that is, if God is this way, those who say they have a relationship with God must also be this way. So look what it says. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God is light. He is good. He is right. Therefore, those who follow him must walk in the light, in the good, in what is right. God has no darkness. Therefore, those who follow him must not walk in darkness. John's not done. Chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. At the very end of verse 5, he says, by this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. This isn't complicated, is it? You want to know who's following Jesus? You need to know how Jesus lived and see who's living like that. Who puts an emphasis on following his pattern? Who puts an emphasis on following his will, his way, his word? He goes on, 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. If he's righteous, his followers will be righteous. Next chapter, chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Beloved, now we are children of God. That is, we have come from God. It has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. That's a complicated verse, but it's talking about this resurrection, saying in the future when Jesus returns, we're going to be like him. We'll be like him then. What should we be like now? Verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. He is pure. What should we be? You want to know who's following Jesus? Jesus is pure. The ones who follow him are pure. They're not adulterated by the wickedness of the world. They're not defiled. Chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. We're going to come back to this one next week. But it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." This is pretty simple stuff. Here it is. God is love. You want to know who's following Him? Look to see who is loving. The one who says they love, the one who says they know God, but they don't love, they don't know God because God is love. Do you see how this was throughout 1 John? It's very simple. You want to know who's right? Know who God is. And look to see who acts like Him. Last verse, verse 17. "By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world." Where is their confidence coming from? It's very simple. Their confidence is coming in this. Just as God is, His nature, His behavior, so also are we. So why would we fear on the day of judgment? We know we're right because we know we're like Him. We're done. Those are your two principles for today. So we started off last week. Those who listen to Jesus. Oh, if you're getting ready to get your songbook, we're not that done. Those who listen to Jesus, those who obey Jesus, those who look like Jesus, act like Jesus, behave like Jesus. Those are the ones who can know. They can know in face of all of the opposition, in face of all of the doubt and all the other options in the world, they can know they're right. I'm not following some man. I'm not following some preacher. I'm not following some human traditions. I've gone back to His message, and I'm following His message, and I'm living like He would live. And then I know I'm on His path, and I know where His path leads. His path is to heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of God. I know I'm saved. It's that simple. Now, I know there are complications, there are challenges with it, but that's how simple it's supposed to be. And it means then that we have to remove the things that are not like God. So many people in the world today believe that you can be a Christian and live any which way you want. It doesn't work that way. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Why is that? "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Now let me just ask you this question. If you love the things of the world, if you love the pleasures and the pride and the sin, who are you following? Now, not who do you say you're following, but who are you following? And John's answer to that is, you're not following God because those things aren't from God. Being like Jesus compares to obedience because, well, quite frankly, Jesus was obedient. And John points this out multiple times in the Gospel of John, how God sent him to do something. And every time it talks about God sent him to do something, he did it. He was obedient again and again and again. So if we're going to follow Jesus, will we be the ones who say it doesn't matter how you live? Will we be the ones who say God has told us to do something, but that's not important, that's old, that's ancient, it no longer is relevant to us? Will we be those people? Or will we be the people that, like Jesus, when Jesus came, whatever God said to do, that's exactly what He did? Which type of people will we be? Obedience. As much as people don't like listening to it, as much as people don't like any emphasis being put on it, you know what obedience is really all about? It's about becoming like God. Because that's what His commands are all about. They're about becoming like Him. So there's our principles. And today I have said something most definitely offensive to the world. I have dared to tell you, you must obey. And in that, I have created a spiritual crime. For many, they will say that I'm being legalistic. Others will say that I am saying we are earning our salvation. And John's going to disagree with both of those points. I know this isn't necessarily that simple. It's not that easy to understand. But here's the thing. Legalistic is not a biblical term. Somebody else came up with that. And then they throw it around and they accuse people of it all over the place. You focus on obedience, you're legalistic. What's John telling us that we need to focus on? Let me put it to you another way. If John's legalistic, then I should be too. If by your definitions John is legalistic, then legalistic is good. Yeah, somebody else pound that. Pound it. Yeah. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We've already looked at this. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. Do you see how this passage emphasizes the way we live? But did it require perfection? Did somehow John, by saying we must focus on how we live, on how we walk, did somehow John then say, if you have any sin in your life, you're doomed? It was the opposite, wasn't it? He said, if we walk the right way, the flaws that we have done, the sins we have committed, what happens to them? Right there in verse 7, the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. Did we earn that? John's not saying we earned that. But he's saying you only get that when you walk the right way. What's he say the next thing? Are we supposed to pretend that we have no sin? Quite the opposite. We're supposed to be well aware of our sins. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Are we saying that we don't sin? No. But we walk in righteousness. We're well aware of our sins. We need to be well aware of our sins. We need to be humbled by our sins and the times that we have defiled who we are and we have sinned against God. We need to be humbled by that. We need to confess that. And in that humility, we find forgiveness. So then what's he say in the next verse? There's a chapter break there. Ignore that. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. What's John's goal? That you and I would never sin. What's the reality? We will sometimes. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. If we follow the ways of the world, we don't have God. If we follow the ways of God, we have him and he forgives us for the times when we fail. It's not actually as complicated as we make it out to be. If you follow the light, if you follow righteousness, if you follow purity, if you follow love, then in those times, those few times, those rare times, those times that are not your practice, that are not who you are, you will find forgiveness in God. But if we choose to follow the ways of the world, how dare we claim to be following God? So, there's no such thing as perfect obedience for you and for me. But that doesn't mean we should ignore any attempt at it. That's the great mistake, to say, well, since I can't live perfect, I don't have to try. You have completely misunderstood who's following God. So, what's the implications of this principle then? Who is right? It is with much sadness that I must confess to you, we have just eliminated an awful lot of churches from being right. We've just eliminated an awful lot of people who claim to be Christians from being right. I do not say that as though it is some statement of pride. It is terrifying. It is sad. But if you're a part of a church that quickly throws out that term legalistic whenever somebody suggests that, oh, they would dare to even quote scripture where it says we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. If somebody says we need to be careful and follow God's word and somebody throws out the word legalistic, get away from them. They're not following the truth. They don't know the truth. They don't have the truth. I'm sorry. But you'll know the ones who follow God by the ones who follow God. Let me get that a little bit more personal for you. Okay, so this is for the people that are trying to decide what church that they want to go to. Most everybody here, I keep seeing your faces, and I like that. But that doesn't mean you're saved. I honestly believe I'm here for a reason. I'm a part of this congregation for a reason. I believe we're on the right path. Now, don't believe it because I believe it. Test it, search it, examine it for yourself. Follow God, not me, not my ideas, not my conclusions. But I believe that this church focuses on the beginning message. I believe we emphasize that. I believe that we emphasize the need to obey and be like God. But you want to know something? That may make us right, that doesn't make you right. There is no reward for sitting in the right pew. The principle that John is talking about here is not, if you sit around people who have these principles, you're right. Instead, it is, if you have these principles, you're right. If you listen to the beginning message, if you obey, if you're like Jesus. But if you sit in the right pew but don't obey and aren't like Jesus, I've got words for you. You're not a follower of Jesus. You're not saved. It's not about where you sit. It's about who you are. And so we divert. We're going to get off track here. Not off track. We're on a new track. And we're going to focus less on which church is right and more on which individual is right. Which Christian can go to the day of judgment with confidence? And which one should go to the day of judgment in fear? Any person, no matter what church they're a part of, who doesn't obey, doesn't follow Jesus. Last time I looked at the clock and I realized I'd gone really long. Good news to you this time, normal length. Everything's normal. Do you realize how non-complicated this is? I mean, don't you see how incredibly obvious it is as to figuring out who's actually following Jesus? The ones who listen to Jesus, the ones who obey Jesus, the ones who look like Jesus and the way they walk and behave? Well, we're still not done. And even after next week, we won't be done. Next week, we're going to look at this a little bit closer and talk about the love of God that we're supposed to have in our lives, that we can look at and say, ah, now I look like God. But there is more. And I suspect that you're going to be very interested in this because whenever the subject comes up, people get, ooh, what's he going to say? I currently have the fifth sermon in this series titled this. How do you know you're saved? The Holy Spirit for the win. I think you'll be interested in that. If there are any here who are not Christians, I don't know what you've claimed to be up to this point. But if you aren't actually following the plans that Jesus set aside, that Jesus laid out, I want to encourage you to set aside your past. Set aside what everybody has told you you're okay and actually just follow Jesus. Oh, there's so many issues we could talk about with this one. One of the big ones, though, is how you enter into Jesus. Some people say all you have to do is just believe. You know what Jesus taught? Jesus taught us to go out and make disciples of all the nations, and He's the one who taught us to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That was His message in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And that was the message His apostles went out and proclaimed everywhere. They talked about baptism is for forgiveness of sins. Baptism puts us into Jesus. So if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't been baptized the way the Bible talks about it, then who are you really following? And we encourage you this morning to follow, not me, follow Jesus. Follow Him. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, living in sin is not following God. And it does not lead in a confidence of salvation, but a confidence of condemnation. And we encourage you to turn around, to come back to a merciful God who, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?